members only, yous are being treated to a great side discussion of Jackie Chan's Thunderbolt. Actually, I've just introduced that as if it was the American release, where it has his first name before it.
Yeah, well, it's on that on the print as well, a Jackie Chan film.
Well, it's not as bad as, what was it, the most recent victim, Jackie Chan's Shinjuku incident. That's a way to sell the movie. Set around the world of racing, Foe, Jackie Chan, is a mechanic and a part-time race car driver, playing the Good Samaritan for the police force by helping them apprehend dangerous criminal named Cougar, which is German actor Thorsten Nickel.
Thorsten Nickel.
There you go. They got changed Chucker, whatever.
I don't know if he's a German. It sounds very much like a Danish name or something.
Up, I looked up. I was hoping he was going to be Swedish so I could make some connection, but nope, German.
Yeah.
So, Cougar is basically apprehended by like this car chase from Jackie. The criminal soon breaks free, however, and takes revenge on Foe by trashing his business, his home, and kidnapping his two younger sisters.
What a nasty man.
A multilingual production from both the Cantonese, English, and Japanese dialogue. Again, the trend of creating more accessible international flavours in Jackie's movies at the time. And what one should know up to the front about Thunderbolt is that Jackie had injured his leg during shooting of Rumble in the Bronx, and he was unable to perform most of the stunts. Well, some of the stunts. During the fight scene in the Japanese arcade, for instance, he was forced to use a stunt double for the wide shots. This is like one of the funniest things about this movie was the fact that the rain in Japan had kept the climactic race scene from being filmed. The crew actually moved to Malaysia to film the race scenes, and other problems occurred when the Malaysian government were too worried that people would get hurt during filming. So basically the race had to be filmed at regular speed and then cranked up during post-production.
Aye, aye, aye.
So, directed by Gordon Chan, who notably had Fist of Legend on his resume at the time, but he was also known for the big Stephen Chow vehicles such as Fight Back to School 1 and 2 and, of course, King of Beggars. In particular, the latter was an epic production, and also the comic retelling of the legend of the Drunken Master, Sohae, also was seen in Drunken Master and most recently in True Legend. Action director Sammo Hung he directed the action. Him and Jackie basically were also in the cast list. We find Anita Yun. Not as good as Moy, but we also have the legendary Shaw's director, Police Story villain Corian, and Ken.
Yeah. Michael Wong, aye.
The movie isn't as well received critically, but as the box office success, the film won Best Action Direction from 1995 Golden Horse Awards. The film is also known as Dead Heat in Japan. It took a while before the general public had access to an uncut subtitled version of Thunderbolt on DVD. I think many considered the Spanish release to be the Holy Grail for a while, but there has been original language subtitled DVDs out in America for a number of years now.
Yep, it sat in the Miramax vaults for quite some time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't released theatrically, I think. At least not in America. I don't know about UK or elsewhere, but
not over here.
Which begs the question: how did you guys see it? Therefore, was it many years later after it was released?
Me? Wow. When did I first see this? I can't honestly remember where I saw my first copy. What I do remember is I had a copy, a dubbed version, and I remember it must have been around about, it must have been 2000, 2001. I was sat at home, and randomly on BBC Two, at around 9 in the evening, a widescreen, a subtitled version of Thunderbolt came on. And I was just like, what? I remember running around trying to find a tape to record it on, because I was like, What's going on? It's like BBC Two is suddenly showing Thunderbolt at 9 in the evening, widescreen with subtitles. This is crazy. I haven't got this. Where's this from? And it was never shown again. It was shown once on BBC Two, and then that was it. And I was just like, what? I think it was kind of like a Jackie Chan evening thing or something, something like that, or a martial arts evening on BBC. But it was the strangest thing, and I think that's the where I got the best copy from. And even still to this day, I've got that copy because it was better than the US print I got.
I was basically the same. For me, though, it was Channel 4 were showing it on late on a Sunday. And, of course, it was the night before where it was something like back-to-back. It was Jackie Chan's First Strike and Rumble in the Bronx. And this was, really in the first year when I was getting into Asian cinema. And so I would be constantly scanning, the TV magazines, what's on, and seeing what films were on for the week. Constantly, circling if it was any Asian cinema was coming up that week. And, of course, Thunderbolt was on at, 11 o'clock on a Sunday night. And looking at it, it's blah, blah, plot, and brackets and mentions. The running time, then Cantonese. Now, mind going to school the next day, and it's what the fuck's Cantonese? And it's right. It's I couldn't understand, is it right? I know there's Chinese, but what the fuck's Cantonese? it was really just I was so green at the time. It was one of these great things where I taped that, and then later on, I'd also recorded the first half of Fist of Fury, and that was in subtitles as well. And that baffled me as well because I had the dubbed cut VHS, and I was basically comparing it. I'd watch 2 minutes of it subtitled, then turn it off, put in the VHS, and watch 2 minutes of that. And it was the subtitles are completely different from what they're talking about.
Yeah.
How could they do? Wait. And it just that just blew my mind right there. But. Again, I've got that VHS in a box somewhere, alongside the rare showing of Spooky Encounters on Sky Movies Classics.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, we're a bit random over here with our showings like that.
Because at least you get showings. So
I know, because nowadays it's fucking rare shots that you actually get anything. Of course, you'll get the occasional Saturday night where it's The Legend or Fist of Legends, but nowadays it's all about, you're thinking away, which company owns rights to which movies, and that's, you can tartan, you're going to find their DVDs, on, film 4 in a few months' time. Doesn't matter what title is from tartan, DVDs, you're going to get Old Boy and all this stuff showing up soon enough, but, whenever Prodigal Son and Mr. Vampire, these were getting shown in the early 90s, how are they able to do that? I would love to have known. There's so much stuff just passed by, and I never knew about it.
That even blows my mind to think of a traditional martial arts movie on TV, because again, Sweden never touched those on TVs. I mean, that's a foreign notion to me, literally.
I am one of those people that loved Thunderbolt, and I haven't watched it since. In years, really. So, I never cottoned on to the fact that the race scenes were horribly cranked.
Oh, dear me.
That particular aspect is not an opinion splitter, really, because I think it's universally hated the fact that those scenes. It's a damn compromised scenes for the production that they had to do what they had to do. But even some random shots like cars turning over, like an arranged stunt. Mm-hmm. Seems like, in a way, it's sped up even. You see all the mechanics running around like it's a fucking 20s or 30s silent movie.
With this as well, this is obviously a major race. This is a big event. Is it do they find 30 or 40 of the shittest drivers in the world? Right. They're all horrific. It's like Jackie Chan and the bad guy lapped them all 15 times, and they're all spearing off into the walls and spinning on spinning on the straights, for God's sake. Imagine if you turn on the TV on the Sunday afternoon to watch the Formula One or something, and they're all flying off of the straights and stuff.
And there's only two talented drivers amongst 15.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hell, let's just finish the race in reverse, because that's something. And it's just they didn't have to do that. I don't know whether they were just trying to cover up for the problems that they had with the whole issue with shooting it and things, but, I mean, finishing the race in reverse? It's funky donkey. Let's have a competition to see who can get out the gravel trap first. Go on! But that said, I mean, for me, it's an interesting film because it's one in which Jackie is forced to act. I'm not saying that he didn't act before, but obviously given his situation with his ankle, mm-hmm. he could rely on being, look at me, I'm Jackie Chan, I can jump around and kick ass. He couldn't rely on that. So he had to fall back on acting. I like the film as I like the story. I like the idea. I like the characters. Mm-hmm. I don't Thunderbolt on to watch Jackie Chan doing what he does best. I don't. You know, you wouldn't. I mean, what I've always found really amusing was I was thinking was Sammo being really evil. It's like, Jackie, he's got a broken ankle. He said he'll still make this film. That's great. Let's set all the fight scenes on trampolines. How evil is that? It's like, oh yeah,
I've got suspended on high off the floor.
We're gonna have you bouncing on a trampoline. Is that okay?
Still, you see in the outtakes Jackie having loads of fun up there at least for a minute, and Sammo is there as well. So he presumably worked on it. Definitely, it wasn't just Jackie's piece of choreography.
Oh, no. But, I mean, you know, thinking, given the situation and going into this knowing that, hey, this guy's broken his ankle, they would have thought, let's not have fight scenes on trampolines where we're going to have to use hideous amounts of doubling. So it's kind of like, why? It always got me thinking on that front. And it's like they made no attempt to hide the doubling. I mean, unless they were really, really short on guys that looked like Jackie Chan. I mean, let's pick the smallest, skinniest guy. It's like almost they didn't even make any effort to get any new wardrobe. They're just, yeah, here's Jackie's clothes. The weight is big for you. No one will notice that your hair's different and the clothes are too long and that, hey, that you kick completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so blatant. And it wasn't very consistent either because there were certain scenes where you saw, for example, the whole scene in the garage where Jackie's doing like handsprings out the window. Like he falls out the window, spins around, and does like the spring up onto his feet. He's jumping over the railings. There's the great shot of him doing the spin hook kick, and it's like a triple cut. So you see him spinning around two or three times before he actually makes contact with the kick, and the guy flies back into the paint sprayer. But he's doing those kicks. All right, there's the wired section where he goes over the top of the guy's shoulders with his legs split. Then, like, you know, he was quite capable of doing things. So whether it was that they shot it in a weird order and he picked up another injury or aggravated the same injury or what, I don't know, because the doubling's really inconsistent. And what really aggravated me when I first watched the film, watching it as a fan of just the fight scenes, which I was initially at the time, that's what I watched it for. There's a scene where the guys come out of the parlor and they're all dressed in whatever they're dressed in. And then Sammo's decided, for whatever reason in the edit, to put over that kind of really juddery kind of. And I'm like, what are you doing? You can see that it's Jackie. You can see it's him and he's not being doubled, yet we can't see what he's doing. And it looks like some quite complex choreography and it looks really interesting, but you can't see what's happening. It's like...
Yeah, it's the fight with the Yakuza guys, the tattooed Yakuza guys, but it looks like a one kawaii movie all of a sudden.
For me, it's an interesting film in that, you know, he can't rely on his action. He has to try that a little bit harder with the acting. And there's some moments in it that are a bit cringeworthy. I've never been a fan of the whole scene where the family, they're all living in like containers. And the guy comes along with a crane and just swings them all around, and Jackie ends up being thrown out the windows and all this, and it's all like I thought that was it was a bit over the top, and it's a bit disturbing. I was never particularly fond of that scene. I think it kind of took the film in the wrong direction. You know, the one minute they're swinging people around and cutting them up, and then the next minute it's like we're driving in a race car race, and she's hanging a sign over saying "I love you," and it makes him spin out. You know, two more opposite ideas. Both work, but not in the same film. Too much. The two polar opposite. You know, but still, that's just me. My opinion.
Well, it's definitely problematic for exactly those reasons. And still, I come out of Thunderbolt thinking it deserves some love. it's more problematic than like Rumbling in the Bronx. A few aspects that I like. I think this is one of out of all things. This is one of Jackie's greatest theme songs.
It's
so catchy, so great, and it gets you pumped up for the movie. And of course, his Mitsubishi connection finally gets pushed to the limit. He's not wearing like a cap or a T-shirt or like driving a car for 10 seconds. This is set in Japan in the Mitsubishi factories.
I've never noticed. No, of course not.
Very subtle. And he's even using, seemingly using his police connection for a scene later on when he's test driving the car he builds.
Yeah.
So finally it's like, you guys want to do me a solid? You know, let me in the factory. And there's apparently even alternate footage for the opening. The Japanese version is a completely different event. Jackie cheats on his like tests or something like that. In the version we probably saw, he bumps into the daughter of the owner who hurts his finger or something like that.
Actually, it looks painful as well. I like that. And he traps his finger and then hits his head and it's all like, oh, ouch, yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that. That was a little comedy moment there. But
one of the glaring problems is taking the movie partly into facepalm territory is like the Julian Sands lookalike villain, Cougar.
Yes.
Is it? This is not cheesy good. It's really cheesy bad. And really, the whole lead-in, the kidnapping leading to the racing, that I want to challenge you on the racetrack, so I'll kidnap you, and I don't know why that is logical. It's one of those things that I find it hard to swallow, to be honest, the kind of dramatic narrative structure to this whole thing. And it's also a bit distressing to watch as a movie, as we discussed with the whole swinging the container sequence and Jackie really getting hurt and his family's in peril, real peril. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of felt and it's sort of personal, these scenarios on their individual terms, and it really doesn't work. And in the end, the movie kind of is enjoyable when adding it all up, and it really shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I enjoy it. It isn't all due to Michael Wong, who speaks a lot of English in this movie. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of Cantonese. And even him and Jackie has like scenes where Jackie is speaking English back to him and not like it's usually is with Michael Wong. Everybody speaks Cantonese to him and he doesn't. I think a lot of it has to do with Gordon Chan as a director. I think his feel for action and violence is what results in kind of these hard action scenes, the one we discussed with the containers and even the shootout at the police station, which is very violent for a Jackie Chan movie. A lot of squib effects and action. Well put together, but it really does clash with the movie. And I think I've heard Jackie or read Jackie explain that he didn't think the movie gelled very well in that regard.
There's some more adult-themed undertones as well that run through it. And there's the whole sequence where his sisters are coming off the school bus and there's the guy hitting on them. And that's not the sort of thing that you would normally see in like a modern day Jackie Chan film. It's not the type of humour that he kind of goes for. I remember watching it at the time, not giving it any thought, but then looking back on it years later and thinking, wow, you know, there's some quite disturbing elements within this film. Not on the level of City Hunter disturbing, but
he's not looking at his sisters and seeing like chicken legs and hamburgers.
Boing, 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 boing on the screen like that.
Looking at Corian and thinking meatball, meatball.
Yeah, but it seems like they attempted something. I mean, a bit more serious, a bit less fight structured movie.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's only two fights in it, essentially. The garage fight and the arcade one.
The arcade one, that's the same area as the Yakuza one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's like, that's some arcade where it's got a sauna and everything built into it.
Yeah, I was really thinking of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Japan, apparently, in the Mafia-run one, or Yakuza-run one.
What I always wanted to know is, what is that spinny thing that they've got in the scene when they're all having the family moment? The thing that floats?
Oh, yeah, the floating thing, and they're just the rice balls around it. It's like,
what are those?
That's for the devil!
It was almost some weird product placement.
Yeah, for something you can't get. Anyway.
The impression I got from the fight scenes, again, I'm not good at deconstructing that kind of thing, and it seemed like either the injury hindered a lot of things, but it doesn't feel as sharp or inventive this time around, and maybe because of the injury in the background. Samo and Jackie isn't, you know, they have so high standards otherwise, so that's why you react. But I think there's something off with these scenes, and it doesn't need to be the doubling itself, because doubling, it might have happened anyway. It's very evident, of course, but still, it's a few notches off, even though the arcade scene is enjoyable for what it is, especially when they rebound after that shitty shot step frame stuff that Chris was talking about. They rebound with them having the final piece of the fight in the roof and on the trampolines and stuff. But still, there's a few. There's something off with these that make them less memorable than other Jack Chan fights.
Yeah, it could well be simply that, you know, obviously given his state that he couldn't necessarily perform, that he simply wasn't there for some of this. If he wasn't on set and he wasn't given creative input, Sammo does choreograph in a very different way. I think that may be, I mean, I don't know for certain, but that might be one of the reasons why. For the scenes that he is in, they feel very Jackie Chan. They feel very, you know, the way the camera moves, the way he's moving, it's him. But in the scenes where it's clearly not him, they don't make an effort to choreograph it and ask the guy to perform like Jackie. And it's very evident. You know, there's a lot of wire pulls and you know, they're really, really kind of evident to over-the-top movements that Jackie wouldn't normally do. Yeah, some very, you know, in different kicking combinations going off as well that, you know, aren't typical Jackie techniques that people will recognise. So, yeah, it was... But that said, it doesn't make me go, oh, I'm not going to watch the film, you know?
No. Strangely enough, you come out of the movie like, I rather enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. And like, if anything, like Chin Karlock was obviously well paid during the mid-90s. His chips were in when it came to Dublin.
He doesn't do any fighting in this one as visible on camera. He has easy role as the assistant of the Japanese.
He's the guy that does like the love heart and then gets slapped over the back of the head.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, again, romantic interest misused and miscast. I love Anita Yoon. I think she's a great funny actress. Watch From Beijing with Love with Stephen Chow. She's hilarious in that one. And she's a dramatic actress I could rank with the best. Watch C'est la vie, mon chéri. She's terrible in Thunderbolt. She's annoying, and she's a very unsympathetic character because she's this journalist that follows Jackie around, tries to get a story out of him initially, and obviously he says, I don't want to be part of this media circus, and she still, like, films him with a hidden camera, and they have the fucking balls to make them a romantic item by the end. It's crazy. This is the part where I get really annoyed and can't let go of it, because it's so inconsistent and so illogical, and they don't have any chemistry at all. They really don't. And that I love you that she put up on the signs that they put up at the side of the tracks. That's just no.
It's almost getting to the point of being blatantly cringe. It's cringeworthy. It's like the age difference is it's a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she must have been. Look at her. You think, she must have been born around 1970. And you're thinking, how old's Jack? You know, wow, that's not good. It's really not good.
And in Rumble in the Bronx, same thing. I think Francois Yip is way younger than Anita Yoon. Wow. But it really, really doesn't work. But still, again, I'm sure you can agree on this, too. You kind of come out of the movie. It kind of is enjoyable.
Yes, it is.
Works somehow.
Somehow, yeah, I can't explain either why. Even after being experienced that racing scenes and those racing scenes, they haven't grown bad over time. They were bad from the beginning.
They've just never grown.
The guy, the whole thing where can you imagine seeing that? You sat watching some motor racing, and then someone manages to hit the wall in such a way that it fires the car up through the marshal's post, mm-hmm. and then lands on the tires actually explode. Whoa! They've got some sort of special metal tires, as tire barriers that spark and explode upon landing on them. You know, the amount of death and destruction in that one single race probably amounts to the whole of motor racing history.
And that's the thing, at first you kind of laugh at the thought that the Malaysian government were worried about people getting hurt, but then you actually see the outtakes of the movie, and you see those, that explosion, then you see the guy being carried out on a stretcher. There's even shots of Jackie's, covered in flames, and the crew's too busy trying to put him out, and Jackie's running over to the car trying to put the car out, and I could go off at any minute and, wipe them all out.
I also wondered about that, if it was meant to be, because in the movie they played, it's actually supposed to be like that. He's supposed to go back to the car and try and put it out because it's the car that they built, it got destroyed, so he's obviously destroyed. But I wonder if it was intentional or not, or if they used that accident as a dramatic device. What, good on them if they could. Scribble, yeah, exactly. So it kind of worked out for them.
It's the theme tune. And that's it's the theme that makes the film. Whenever I think of Thunderbolt, I think of the theme. I don't think of the film. I think if they didn't have that, then I don't think it would work. I think that's what it is.
That's the glue that holds it all together.
Well, that's it. That's it. And I always remember watching that and thinking, I want to have a go in that bus that goes around the oval. Yeah. I want to go to school where you all sit in a bus and they take you around the track and you all leave. It's like, that looks like great fun.
But having said all of that, it's a great looking movie, and the only racing scenes that work are like the night scenes shot in Hong Kong, where they have Bruce Law, as they always do in Hong Kong when it comes to vehicular stunts. You can see Bruce Law as well, and those scenes look excellent.
Yeah, they
proper work speeds, and the cinematography is so excellent. And Bruce Law, you know, such a cunning guy when it comes to vehicle stunts, and a guy that pretty much every production can employ in Hong Kong, even like small triad movies. Who wants to have a 30-second car chase or whatever? Bruce Law is there. Yeah, I saw Rebellion recently, a Harmony Ao film, triad movie, and they had a pretty good car chase lasting for maybe it was a 2-3 minute one. Bruce Law was on that, so I'm kind of glad. And maybe Bruce Law wasn't available to supervise the racing scenes at the end because it's actually Frankie Chan who's credited as car stunt director for the Malaysia scenes, I think. And you can see Frankie Chan in the outtakes. They show this garage with the whole roster of cars, I guess, they are going to use. And you can see Frankie Chan. But maybe that was not Bruce Law's part of Bruce Law's skills to work with these kind of racing cars. I wouldn't know.
I'm pretty sure if he had to do what they'd done in Malaysia, he'd say, right, I quit. It's over. We're taking it back to Japan.
You can see that bad weather in Japan as well at the start of the race, so they were probably right on track with that one to not pursue filming in Japan. But it really ended up being a movie and a final reel that painted itself into a corner, or was painted into a corner rather because of restrictions. And it's kind of you can't not do it. Obviously, they didn't assign the movie as a fight movie, instead have Jackie and Cougar square off, you know, on the racetrack, but fighting. They couldn't do that. They apparently, this was what we was intended, and we need to do this. Just hope nobody notices, but I'm sorry, guys. It didn't work. And the logic to have a villain be that, you know, lethal and fling containers around, but wants to settle it on the racetrack. That's a concept for an 80s flick, not a 90s flick.
Whereas he could have easily crushed them with those shots where he dropped containers in on his, like, wee fucking Lego-built house.
Yes.
Yeah. I was always that one shot of that disturbing sequence when I think it's Jackie's jumping from the swing container over to, like, the wee box house, and he bangs his chest off the fucking hand railings.
His back arches in the most horrific... it's just like, oh god, no, but
really, yeah. Well put together though, as a sequence.
It's stressing as fuck, really.
it's not nice, not pleasurable to watch
at all. Was there any quote from Jackie about this movie in his book?
He always dreamed of doing a race car movie. Yep.
Still is.
The dream has never come true.
Right, here it is. The film cost $2 billion Hong Kong dollars. The most in Hong Kong film history at the time. The demolished cars cost $2 million US alone. This wasn't my favourite film, but on opening day it took in a record-breaking $4 million Hong Kong.
Well, good for you, Jackie.
Oh, he even talks about the romantic angle. Former Miss Hong Kong Anita Yun, now very popular actress, plays a reporter who's eager to get my story and who ends up falling for me. Brackets. Though the romantic angle really never goes anywhere.
Exactly.
So even him, like, it's not like the fact, it's like, this all meant to happen. It's like, yep, we had to do it. Miss Hong Kong.
Well, it's good that he's honest about it. It's really, Anita Yun had broke by this point. C'est la vie, mon chéri was out before Thunderbolt, where she won all the awards for that movie. So it's not like she came straight from the Miss Hong Kong pageant and was just a pretty face to put in the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you think of any I mean, it's probably gorgeous. It was his only movie where the romantic interest and the angle works, or is better than the ones we've discussed. Because I think it's possible what we see in Gorgeous with him and Shuke. Mm-hmm. Really, compared to Anita Yun and Francois Yip, it's definitely possible.
Aye, definitely. At first I thought you were actually going to mention like the relationship between Jackie Chan and Tony Leung.
That's definitely possible also. So, yeah.
Yep, I think we've covered it quite well, lads. Chris, have you got any plugs for us? Anything you want to throw out there to our audience?
Any plugs?
Yeah.
Especially. I'm not at the minute, no, nothing. I haven't. That's just quite sad, isn't it? I'm just a broken old man. I'm actually not out of action as such at the minute. I picked up a knee injury last year that required some minor surgery that turned into major surgery. So, I'm under strict orders. Well, I was supposed to take a year off, and that year turned into 2 months because I'm impatient. That might be the Jackie Chan influence there coming through. What do these doctors know? These knee specialists from different countries. What do they know? I was advised I'd take up to a year to heal, and I figured, well, I've been in it 2 months, and they actually were right in that it will take up to a year to heal. So I've not been, although I've been teaching and I'm still training, I'm not taking any other work as such, because, you know, as much as when I heard they said, oh, it's going to be a year, it seems like the end of the world. Realistically, it's a year. It's not that long at all. The timing was horrendous in that it coincided off the end of a 6 month break that I'd taken due to the birth of my son. And I said, you know, I'll take 6 months off to spend some time with him and my wife and her daughter and you know, have some family time. And then right at the end of that 6 months, this knee issue was diagnosed, and then I was told I had to take another year off. In that time, the movie Blood of the Last Vampire had released, finally, after taking what seemed like forever to appear, which was somewhat of an anticlimax, but that's a different story. That came out, and then that led to other things, and I couldn't take those other things, unfortunately. One of which are my two, which actually ties in very well with Thunderbolt. My two main passions being martial arts training and movies and motor racing. And I was offered a job stunt doubling for the Australian Formula One driver Mark Webber, who drives for the Red Bull team. I was offered a chance to stunt double for him at the Singapore Grand Prix for a promotional event. There was a concert over there, and Rain was singing, and they were going to shoot a fight scene between Mark Webber and Rain, and they wanted me to be stunt doubling for Mark Webber. I couldn't do it. So I was kind of like, wow, what sort of perfect opportunity is this for me to work with this up-and-coming actor and to go to Singapore and to work with, you know, somebody that I look up to in Formula One and get to meet all the team and go to the Grand Prix, and I can't do it. Oh. Hey, that's kicking the teeth. But, you know, that's how life goes. I'll be back, to use a news quote. I've got options available, and thankfully my knee's healing in the right way, so I'll be, you know, at one point I wasn't sure I'd be able to carry on, if I'm honest, but I found ways to work around it, and I'll be back at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, on what I don't know.
Okay, well, I think that's a wrap. I've been your host for this evening.
That'd be really cool to do a fight scene here. that's how he came up with that.
Thanks for that, John.
Oh, thanks, man. Oh, cool.
We're still in the middle of choosing which three movies we're going to talk about, and I think the polls at the minute is in favour of Drunken Master 2, Rumble in the Bronx, and Thunderbolt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because a lot of people are choosing it because it's a movie that's not discussed much. So they really want us to discuss at least one movie that's not really the mainstream.
If you want, I can add to Thunderbolt if you want. Yeah, well, I interviewed Sammo, and I asked him why he did that stack printing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's just like, wow, what the hell was that? He kind of regretted doing it. you know. But he said at the time that was the in thing. Yeah, he goes, that was the in thing. If you look at it, I think Bride with White Hair did it. It was, and I think it was just the in thing for how they were shooting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have seen what they had done without it, because it really didn't need it. Yeah, and that fight and the stunt he did in his that room he had in the an auto factory where they pulled him up. Yeah, that was, oh god.
Yeah, it's just the jump in slow motion where just his chest catches the banister and it's like, oh, ouch.
Yeah,
he's fell out.
Yeah, yeah, and that fight in the paint room was freaking hilarious, man.
All right, cheers for that, John.
All right, bud, you take care.
Yeah, you too. Anyway.
All right. I'll see you.